This recording of a channeling session is intended for your personal use only and is protected by copyright. Please do not duplicate it for any commercial means, and please do not post it to any website. Feel free to post a link back to it on www.josiah.com. Thank you.
Well, again, it is indeed a pleasure to be invited back into our Boston Living once again. We express our greetings to each of you, and we remind you that there still exists for you that opportunity to be involved in that silent communication, that energy that you have created continues to exist within this fashion. You will find once again that it's quite easy for you to alter your consciousness. To enter into that meditative state, you have but to close your eyes and express the intent, and that opportunity most certainly does exist for each of you. And we would as well once again remind you that that choice is yours absolutely. Now, this reality that you're experiencing once again is a reflection of your beliefs. A very difficult concept to understand in your awake consciousness state. We grant you that, and we recognize that absolutely. But nonetheless, that statement is very valid. The reality you experience is a reflection of the beliefs you hold. And if you don't like the reality you're experiencing, change your beliefs. And choose the method or the technique to change your belief that you believe will have the capacity to do so. That you believe will work. If you don't believe it once again, then you're pretty much wasting your time. It's not going to work. While we have hesitated to give you methods or techniques, we nonetheless have suggested many times that liking who you are in your awakened consciousness state, and as a consequence of beginning to like who you are, begin to do the things that allow you to love yourself consciously, will greatly enhance your capacity to consciously influence and alter your reality. Will greatly enhance whatever method or technique it is that you choose to apply in your creation process. Because you see, you create this reality by understanding, first of all, what it is that you desire. You have a desire, each of you. It may be a desire that you don't wish to express or to recognize consciously as being in place, but nonetheless it's there. You have a desire. And through that desire, you utilize your imagination to create the reality. You make the choices and the decisions based upon what it is that you truly believe. You have the expectation to create. And it's the expectation that becomes difficult. You see, if you desire to experience what you refer to as a positive reality, a positive experience, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what topic you choose to apply it to. If it's what you believe is a positive experience, a desirable experience or reality, but you don't like who you are, then you don't have the expectation to create that reality. You don't believe that you're worthy. And once again, the spark of consciousness that you are creates the reality you desire to validate your beliefs without judging whether it's right or wrong, good or bad, desirable or undesirable. And so if you hold that belief within your belief systems that you're not worthy, if you don't like who you are, then that spark of consciousness that you are grants you that reality and validates the belief that you're not worthy. Without judging, does so rejoicing in the creation process, without judging whether it's right or wrong. Right or wrong, good or bad, positive or negative, is a human consciousness concept that does not exist at the level from which you create your reality. That spark of consciousness that you are validate your belief systems without exception. Gives to you that which you desire. Based upon your expectations. And if your expectations are such that you don't think you're going to achieve what it is that you're attempting to create, that you don't expect that this method or technique that you've chosen will work, then the fuck of consciousness that you are joyously creates that reality. And it does so with the same effort that it would take to create any other reality that you might think you desire. That's the irony. It takes no more effort to create one type of reality or experience than it does to create another. You already utilize the techniques to create the reality. It validates the belief that you hold. And it does so, once again, joyously, from a position of absolute unconditional love and without judging whether it's right or wrong. And so if you don't like who you are, and you desire to have this positive, or what you might refer to as a joyous, or a very desirable reality, but you don't expect it because you don't think you're worthy of it, then the spark of consciousness that you are grants that wish, validates that you're not worthy. And so that expectation becomes very important. What do you expect? Do you expect that the method or technique that you're utilizing will work? Well, it might work for some, but it may not work for me because, you see, I just don't think I'm worthy. And you continue over a period of time to reinforce that belief system by doing certain things that indeed create the type of character that you don't wish to be. And so you don't like who you are consciously. At some level of your consciousness, you like who you are absolutely. At some level of your consciousness, you are absolute unconditional love. It's in this awakened consciousness state that you have the problem of comprehending that understanding of who and what you truly are. And so it's in this awakened consciousness state that you desire to experience the feelings and emotions that are associated with not liking who you are. It's not a right or wrong thing. It's not like you're being condemned to something. It's not like you are less than any other individual. Absolutely not. You're creating your reality using exactly the same methods and techniques, validating the beliefs that you hold. The spark of consciousness that you are doesn't judge whether it's right or wrong. That's an awakened human consciousness concept. It validates beliefs that you choose. Not your beliefs that someone else has chosen for you. Your choices. Your decisions. Your desires are validated. And your expectations are met. And if the expectation is that you're not worthy, then you get that. If the expectation is that indeed I can have that. That's within my capacity. I can grasp that and hang right onto it. That's a reality that's simple for me to create. And the spark of consciousness that you are validates and gives to you that which you expect. And so expectation becomes very important in this reality creation process. And you will find that if you like who you are, you like who you are. It's important to grasp that as well. You like who you are. It doesn't matter what other people think of you. It may to an extent, because that validates and gives you a sense of well-being, but the spark of consciousness that you are gives you the reality based upon who you think you are, not on who others think you are. The spark of consciousness that you are validates your belief system, not someone else's belief system. The spark of consciousness that you are validate your expectations, not someone else's expectations of you. So it's important to like who you are for you, not for someone else. You choose particular principles to put in place to strengthen or to validate your character, for you to be the individual that you like to be, so that you can like yourself at all levels of your consciousness. And you do the things that one does to express love for oneself, so that you can love yourself consciously. And when you love yourself consciously, the expectation level for your capacity to create your reality increases dramatically. And you begin to look at the methods or techniques and accept them, that yeah, that can work. Whether it's a simple method or technique or a complicated one, it doesn't matter. But you believe it will work. Because you have the expectation. Because you believe you're worthy. Because you love who you are consciously. You begin to bring that love that you experience at that level of consciousness from which you create your reality up through the levels of consciousness, if you wish to use the up or down or sideways effect of from one consciousness to the other, and you begin to experience it in your awakened consciousness state. And the experience gives you the opportunity to have the expectation to bring into your reality that which you consciously desire. And as you merge me into this new age and new energy, that ability is available to each of you in a manner that it has not been available in your so-called past. You can have it. So the only method or technique that we would suggest that you utilize that can be of great assistance is to like who you are consciously, to do the things that allow you to love yourself consciously, to allow you to experience those feelings of well-being, those feelings of comfort, those feelings of security and of joy. Do the things that make you feel good if you wish. Do the things that allow you to express to others the character that you wish to be. And you will be amazed at the results that you can experience. As you consciously influence and create this reality that you are experiencing in your day-to-day activities, the choice is yours. All of the reality that you experience is a reflection of your beliefs, and your beliefs are based upon choices and decisions that you make that are indeed influenced by your thoughts and your feelings, that are as well influenced by your attitudes, and your attitudes are linked to your beliefs. And pay attention to the spontaneous attitudes that you experience in a particular instance, in a particular activity or experience. Spontaneous attitudes give you keys and glimpses into the beliefs that are responsible and once again directly linked to the attitudes that influence how you feel and how you think and how you choose. And how you indeed create your reality through your expectations. The choice is yours. You can continue if you wish to be, or if you are involved in that particular type of belief system where you believe that others are influencing your reality and it's being created by some other outside influence or outside energy or whatever you wish to call it. You can have that. You can have that as easily as you can have the other, and one is no better or no worse than the other. It's your choice. You will not be judged because you didn't do this or you didn't make this choice or you didn't decide that you could do it consciously. This is not a right or wrong concept. It's your choice. The reality you experience is a reflection of the beliefs you hold. You cannot fail to come to that understanding. It's not right or wrong other than what you perceive in your so-called awakened consciousness state. Nothing is right or wrong, but the human consciousness thinks it so. The level of consciousness from which you create this reality does not judge if it's right or wrong. And so if you believe that you can influence your reality consciously, or if you believe that you can't influence it consciously, it doesn't really matter. It really doesn't. The reality you experience will continue to be your validation of your belief systems. If you wish to be in control consciously, then indeed You must make the choice. Your choice. Not some other entity's choice. Your choice. Absolutely. Now, if you have any questions, we would be willing to attempt to answer them for you.
Josiah, my question is related to memory. When we think of memory, we think of it as a recall of events. And in the case, we know that that's not really so. So my question is, what is memory and how is it important? How does it influence? Where do we get them from?
Memory is based upon your perception that there is time and space. You see, memory in your so-called awakened consciousness state is based upon what you believe to be your so-called past events. And for many, the extent of that so-called memory is limited to this particular incarnational period. And even for many, not the entire incarnational period. For indeed, we would challenge many of you to remember what it was like the instant you were born. It's there. That memory is absolutely there, if you wish. But it doesn't exist in a manner that easily recalled in your so-called awakened consciousness state. The so-called memories that one refers to are indeed, if you wish, stored within your mental capacity in the physical portion of your mind or your brain, if you wish. And once again, for most individuals, limited to your so-called past in this incarnational period. But you see, time and space are illusionary. Memories are based primarily upon the feelings that you experienced in a particular event or occurrence in a day-to-day activity. And the more intense the feeling or emotion that you experienced, then indeed, the easier it is for you to recall that particular memory. And yet, once again, time and space are illusions. Memory, as you refer to it in this incarnational period, is simply attempting to validate this perception of time and space and that it occurred in your so-called past. In altered states of consciousness, there is no, if you wish, perception of a memory. For you see, memories of your so-called past events are illusionary. Your past does not really exist. Your past is an illusionary perception based upon the concept of time and space. It doesn't really exist. But the memory of a particular event validates that time and space concept, but it's an illusion. You alter your past as readily as you alter your future, and that becomes difficult to grasp, particularly when you have all types of written history and all types of validations that there was indeed a past, that this is what occurred, and you even have the memories that validate it. If it's not written down, then you can remember it and you can write it down. It's also quite strange that when many individuals with the same so-called memory write it down, the perception's awfully quite different. It's just quite different because the memory is simply a validation of your perception of a past which doesn't really exist. You exist in the now. And that becomes very difficult to give an explanation for because the now refers to, once again, the perception of time and space. It's a particular point in your perception of time, the now, which doesn't really exist. And so the memory is an illusion, like your entire existence in this particular vibrational level in your awakened consciousness state is an illusion. The memory is a validation of the passage of time. A memory is a validation that there is a past. And for many individuals, who have the capacity to go with inside and to experience what you refer to as other incarnational periods, you will find that there are other memories. For most, those other memories are of past incarnations. For some, those memories are future incarnations that you seemingly haven't experienced yet. For how can you experience the future? Well, you experience the future because it doesn't exist. You experience the future as readily, if you choose, as you can experience the past. And you change the past, if you wish, as readily as you change the future. And when you change the past, and this becomes difficult to grasp once again in your awakened consciousness state, you change the memory. It's an illusion. It doesn't really exist. It's a concept that you hold within your so-called, once again, physical brain that allows you to recall what you believe to be absolute activities or occurrences in your so-called past. It's illusionary. It doesn't really exist. Your past doesn't exist. You continuously, and we're not just suggesting that you as a particular entity, but your society and your human consciousness, you existing within this particular vibrational level, change your past as readily as you change your future. It's an illusion. It doesn't really exist. And that's the difficulty that you have in grasping it. When you look at a particular written document, for example, and there it is. It's been that way for 100 years. Well, maybe. Maybe 2 seconds ago it wasn't that way, but the entire existence altered your so-called past as readily once again as you alter your future. And it's an illusion. The only part of the illusion that you have to worry about is the part that you can perceive. You don't have to worry about maintaining the entire illusion. That can be some other entities existing in other parts of your atmosphere. You worry about this part. Does this reality that you're experiencing actually exist outside of this particular enclosure that you're contained in? Or will it only be there when you leave? Or is it only there because the other entities are experiencing it? A good question. One which is very difficult for you to comprehend. For you see, even if you were to set up your so-called recording apparatus, well, it only records it because you believe that that's what's occurring. It's an illusion. You're going to have whatever it is that you desire. And your memory is illusionary. It validates this belief in time and space. It's contained, if you wish to have it in a scientific terms, within the particular elements of your brain, within the particular molecules that are contained within the cells of your brain. But it's nonetheless illusionary. You have, and not only you, but other entities as well, we're speaking in general, the entities existing within your vibrational level have the capacity to store within their so-called mental facilities, within your brain, bits and pieces of information that are stored as minute electrical impulses, if you wish, within the very molecule within the liquid, if you wish, that makes up your molecules, that make up your mental capacity, that make up your brain. Should you continue, and we're speaking now once again as a human consciousness, should you continue in your belief systems, and should you continue in your so-called evolutionary process and understanding based upon the beliefs that you hold, and we always hesitate to make certain predictions, because predictions have very little validity. All you have to do is change belief systems, and suddenly what was a very accurate position, a very accurate prediction actually has absolutely no validity. It's based upon belief systems. So should your human consciousness continue to operate within the belief systems that they currently hold, you shall, as a human consciousness, understand how the memory is stored within your so-called physical brain and apply that type of understanding to your mechanical apparatus that you could refer to as your computers. And you shall have the capacity to store within your so-called computers information which is infinitely beyond what you can comprehend at this particular instance in the capacity or in the storage mechanisms that you currently use. You have that capacity to have that understanding. And once again, should you continue on your current belief systems, we would suggest that you will experience that part of a so-called evolution and invention, if you wish, an understanding of the ability to store information that you utilize within your brain and that you utilize to recall what you refer to as memories, recall past activities based upon the experience of the emotions and feelings that are related to that past experience, that validate your belief in time and space, that validate this illusionary reality and makes it real. And so that's what your memory is. It's a concept of a validation of the passage of time and space. It's a recall, if you wish, of events that you believe have occurred in your so-called past. And it changes. That's the irony. You change it. That becomes difficult to grasp. It's like saying, well, what's the sense of all of this reality if what I experience in my so-called today has no impact upon what my memory will recall from my future experiences? It's illusionary. It makes it more real. It validates that you are not in control. It validates that there's a passage of time and that the future is incomprehensible and that the past has occurred and is written in stone. And either one is as far from the truth as can possibly be. You can influence and do influence and alter your past and alter your memories as easily and as readily as you influence and alter the future that you believe you are about to experience. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you very much. One of the viewers of the website asked a question of, they wanted a definition of the present. Could you give a definition?
The present is illusionary, and it's an illusionary element that's very easy for you to get a grasp of, for it doesn't exist. There is no present. We just spoke of memories. And when you look at the memory of your so-called past, it encompasses a group of moments, usually, but not an instant, which would be, if you could grasp that concept, the present. But you see, by the time you begin to comprehend that present, it's already the past and you're moving into the future. It doesn't exist. It's an illusion. The entire time concept is an illusion. And the present doesn't exist. You can never be in the present because it's always the past. By the time you even begin to perceive it and break it down into your elements of this passage of time and space, it's always the past. It's always the past. You can't be in the present because the past. Even if it's a millisecond, it's still the past. You can't be in the present. You're perpetually moving into what you refer as the future, and as you do so, you are indeed creating your so-called past. And it's all illusionary. It's not there. When you look at the present in terms of an event or an activity that you're involved in, you once again have the tendency to group together a memory that's quite frequently based upon a passage of time that you believe in from a point A to a point B. It may be a day that was particularly eventful for you, and during that day there were certain events that were outstanding, and they may be had an expanse of several moments where you were experiencing this intense range of emotions and feelings that highlight the day. And so you have a tendency to take that particular experience and group it together as moments, as opposed to this present, this millisecond, if you wish. If you could measure the present, which is not possible. When someone says live in the present, how can you live in the present? It's already the past. It's always gone. It's always gone. Live in the now. How can you live in the now? You do live in the now, to use that concept, but that's not a very accurate description of reality. Well, the now encompasses all. Your past, your so-called present, and your future. But the present doesn't exist. It has no more validity than your past, and it has no more validity than your future. It doesn't exist. Even in your concept of time and space, you cannot stay in the present. You're perpetually moving from the past into the future, constantly. And so the present has no validity. By the time you think of it, it's the past. Your presents are always being in the past and in the past. And if you think you're going to be present and you look down, well, 1 minute from now I'm going to pick that minute and at that instant I'm going to be in the present. Oh, well, it's already past. Can't be in the present. It's gone. It's not possible. It doesn't exist. It's an illusion. You exist in the now. Time and space are illusionary. All of these incarnational periods that you're experiencing and you believe are spread out over the millennium and you are in this present incarnational period doesn't exist. It's illusionary. They all occur in the now. Even to suggest that it's simultaneously is once again based upon your concept of time and space. Go with inside to grasp an understanding of the concept of what time and space are in terms of being illusionary. Go with inside. When you enter into certain altered states of consciousness, when you enter into your dream state and you become involved in what you refer to as lucid dreaming, when you take your consciousness into your dreaming, your awake consciousness, so that you can recall and you can participate in and you can manipulate your dreams and the activities that you're involved in that process of dreaming, you will have the capacity to experience existing in the now, where in the space of a so-called dream, which you would measure in your awakened consciousness state as being a few seconds, you can indeed experience lifetimes, because time and space are illusionary. And each of you has that capacity, and each of you can probably recall being involved in that process where it seemed like your so-called time did not exist, and in the blink of an eye, you experience the passage of the lifetime. The present is illusionary. It doesn't exist. You can't even be in the present. In your belief in time and space, you're consciously moving from your past to your future. There is no present. If you try to dwell on the present, it's gone. It's not possible. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. A question that burned in me since you first mentioned the concept that belief precedes the reality experience, and I understood that's about as absolute truth as you can get. And so I hold a belief that I exist, and so I think, so what holds the belief that I exist? Well, then I can go back and say, well, there is existence. And so if a being such as yourself were to contemplate that there is existence, what held the belief in order for existence to be, what kind of answer would
you give? You see, the problem with that type of thinking that it's all based upon some type of linear progression, and it's not that way. It's also based upon a belief that one individual is somehow separate from another, and it's not that way. And yet you are individual. It becomes a very complex concept to attempt to give an explanation for, and the explanation is not that. It can't be given. You can't find it by attempting to read it or to discover it. You must go with inside. And it becomes very difficult to give an explanation without leaving a perception that can be misunderstood. But we are all one. We are all that is. And you are all that is. And every entity is all that is. All that you could possibly imagine and beyond. You are all of that, and yet you are nothing. And that becomes the difficult part to grasp. To say that you are a spark of consciousness leaves many times the perception that there's this huge consciousness and you are but a part. And yet you are all of the consciousness, and yet you are a part. We are all the consciousness. We are all one. And yet we are separate. It's a contradiction, and yet it is so accurate that it's beyond description. It defies the explanation through the use of any type of a vocabulary expression. It's an experience. It's an experience that one can have when one goes with inside. It's like we've suggested earlier that it's very difficult to have an explanation for an experience to someone when that someone has nothing to use as a type of guideline or a comparison. Becomes very difficult. Given an analogy that our friend Elias might find quite humorous. You have a child who's becoming into puberty, and that child comes to the father and says, "What's it like to experience sex?" The father looks and says, "Well, now, I can't really tell you." Well, the child says, "What are you kidding? You can't tell me. You know, obviously I'm here, so you have that experience." "I can't tell you. It's something that you must experience. And when you experience it, then you'll understand why I can't tell you. Now go away." And it's like that. We can't tell you. But you can experience it, and when you experience it, you begin to understand why. It's an experience that invokes emotions and feelings. And they may be different if someone were to try to explain it. They may give a different explanation of what they experienced, even though it's similar. Like the child who comes back to his father and says, "Well, you could have told me that." And the father says, "Absolutely not, because what you experienced is not what I experienced at all," you see. And so it can be entirely different if you attempt to give it an explanation, and yet it's the same. And when you experience it with the inside, then you begin to know. And you begin to understand. You can get a glimpse of that concept. You can perceive the emotions and feelings that surround touching that spark of consciousness that you are. And then the time and space concept disappears. And you understand that you are all that is. And so is every other entity. And you are all one. And yet you are separate. You are all that is, and yet you are nothing. Our friend Elias, when he meditates, likes to get past, and a few of you will have heard him speak of this, likes to get past the stuff. The stuff that others may find interesting. To get past that, to get deeper, to go beyond. Something that we attempt to assist quite readily, while we exchange these emotions and feelings as our assistance to allow him to get past, to put that consciousness aside, to put it aside. A very difficult step to take for many individuals. You have to trust that you can't get lost. You have to trust that the ego is not important, that what's down there is what's important, or what's up there or in there, whichever way you wish to look at it. And you put that aside, and all of the images that come along that seem to be so inviting, "Oh, if I could just be there, I just love that feeling." You just put that aside, and you put it aside, and put it aside, and pretty soon there's nothing. You begin to get the feeling that you're nothing. You begin to get the feeling that it just doesn't exist, that there's nothing, nothing, nothing. And suddenly you understand that you are all that is. And it's an overwhelming experience because you touch that spark of consciousness, which is the basis of absolute unconditional love from which you create this reality. And you are all that is. You always have and always will be, because time are illusionary. You are all that is. You are a piece of the one. You are the one. And yet every other entity is also part of you. And you are part of them. And you are all one. And yet you are all separate. You are all that is. And yet you are nothing. And you can experience that. Each of you has that capacity. You have but to believe and to make the effort and to put aside. You see, many get sidetracked. Because you don't wish to have that experience. That's why you entered into this vibrational level, to get away from that, to hide from it so that it can be real. And so as you attempt this alteration of consciousness, you come to these spots where you, as the individual, put up the so-called blockades, the stuff that looks so inviting. You run into other incarnational periods that you've been involved in. Holy, lock that. This is really nice. Get hold of these memories. Or you run into other entities that you've been involved in other incarnational periods, or even in this one, and you stop to converse with them because it's all nice. You create that reality. You create it because it validates that this is real, that this reality you're experiencing in your awakened consciousness state is real, and it's difficult to get past that, put that aside, because you choose to make it difficult, because you entered into this vibrational level for that purpose, to make it difficult, so that you can experience this intense range of emotions and feelings. But you can put it aside. That's something that's available to each of you. You have but to believe. It's your choice. You're not here because someone forced you to be here. You have that choice to put it aside. To put it aside. To go deeper if you wish, or to go higher or sideways. It doesn't matter. To go with inside. And to touch the stock of consciousness that you are. And to understand, at least at that level, to get a glimpse of the understanding of the limitlessness of what you are. And when you grasp that, when you actually touch it, so many of the questions just disappear. It's like an understanding. Oh, I don't have to worry about that anymore. I know now I cannot fail. I have sensed that it's all there. It's all there. It's my choice to hide from it. But it's all there. My spirituality is who I am. I cannot be lost. I do not have to seek it. It's who and what I truly am. It's who and what every other entity existing within this vibrational level truly is. I can do whatever I want in my awakened consciousness state. If I do it and it brings to me the type of joy or the type of experience I desire, then so much the better. If it brings joy to others as well, and if that's what I desire, then so much the better. But ultimately, I understand that I cannot fail, and neither can any other entity that is experiencing this reality in this vibrational level. You have that capacity to touch that, to grasp that unconditional love. You have experienced that. You as an individual have been very close to that. You as an individual have been overwhelmed by that self-love concept, touch that unconditional love of who you are. And at that point, if you would recall, to use the memory that we spoke of earlier, there was no question of who you were. There was no question of what you were. And there was no question of how. You just know. You experience. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. I'll stop asking. Very good. So sorry, I have another question. And I guess it relates a little bit to our former question. When we interject ourselves into this vibrational level, this illusionary vibrational level, is it when we enter that, say in the morning, when we become conscious, is it the vibrational level that subtly shifts, that gives us the illusion of time? Like from a shift from, say, when we would think this morning to at this point now?
The time exists in your awakened consciousness state. It's an illusion. It doesn't really exist. But in your awakened consciousness state, you believe it exists. It's an illusion. In your altered states of consciousness, when you enter into your dream state, time and space cease to exist. Even at that level of consciousness, you grasp the understanding. If you could recall it ultimately and come back into your awakened consciousness state, that time and space are illusionary. Many have difficulty bringing back the memories, if you wish, of what it was that you're experiencing in your dream state. You understand that you're dreaming, and many times those dreams don't seem to have any type of significance, or they're very difficult to understand. You do that on purpose. You do that so that you limit your capacity in your awakened consciousness state to understand the creation process that you're involved in. And you continuously utilize your belief in time and space to give explanations that you can comprehend based upon that belief in time and space. For it doesn't really exist. It's when you're in this state, in the awakened consciousness state, that you are in the most illusionary state. When you're in the dream state, it's much more real. It's much more real. And when you go beyond that into your so-called between incarnational states, when you die, that level of consciousness is once again even more real, although still existing within the limitations of the veil to a certain extent. It becomes much more difficult in those altered states of consciousness to maintain belief systems that are what you might refer to as being negative belief systems, ones that you don't wish to experience. As you look at it and you begin to realize, well, it's validating a belief. You just change the belief and I change the reality. And as you step beyond that between incarnational state, if you choose to leave this incarnational period, you begin to understand absolutely that you are, once again, that spark of consciousness. You are all that is. You are all that is. When you are in complete understanding of the creation process, at that level of consciousness from which you create it, then once again, it's created from a position of absolute unconditional love, and there is no judging as to whether it's right or wrong. And if there is no judgment as to whether it's right or wrong, but whether it's just a validation of your belief systems, then indeed, you experience absolute unconditional love, but you have difficulty in experiencing the other so-called feelings and emotions that in this particular level of consciousness that you're involved in seem to have such significance. We've used the analogy many times that it's like going into a movie theater and you understand that what you're seeing projected upon that screen is indeed just an illusion. It's a trick of lights. And yet you can, while you're in that theater, go through a huge passage of time in terms of what the producer is displaying upon the screen. It can cover a period of years in that hour or whatever that you're sitting in front of the screen and watching the portrayal of someone's experiences on that screen. And you can experience a wide range of emotions. And yet when you leave the theater, you understand that it was an illusion. It wasn't real. And so those emotions are not nearly as intense as the ones that you experience when you walk outside that theater. You walk outside the theater and someone runs into your car. Oh, now that's a much more real experience than what you had in the theater, because you see, it's real. And that's what it's like when you're in this conscious state. It's real. But from that spark of consciousness from which you create the reality, you understand that it's an illusion and it's a creation from absolute and unconditional love. Just like the producer that's putting it on the screen is projecting a portion of what he believes you wish to see, and he's doing it from a position of creation. And he's overwhelmed, overwhelmed with the joy, even though the projection that you're seeing upon the screen might be one of absolute horror. But the producer looks at it as being an absolutely awesome production. And so it is when you create this illusion that you experience in your awakened consciousness state, the stock of consciousness that you are looks at it as an awesome production. And you can experience the range of emotions and feelings that are not possible if you don't put in place the limitations of understanding who you are. So when you ask about existing within your awakened consciousness state, when does it become real? This is the most illusionary state that you can exist in. The most illusionary. What you believe is the most real is the most illusionary. It's the most difficult for you to sustain. Each of you will sleep. Each of you will eventually go into the dream state. And each of you will eventually die, if you wish, and enter into the between incarnational state. And each of you as well will, to believe in your perception of time and space, have the opportunity to choose to leave this vibrational level. And each of you will not fail to come to the understanding of who and what you truly are. What you perceive in this awakened consciousness state is illusion. Significant, but nonetheless illusionary. It's a projection. It's your production. It's not real. Does that answer your question? Well now, it is being once again the most enjoyable afternoon in interaction with each of you, and we would like to express our gratitude once again for your offering us this opportunity. And we would remind you as well that we are not separated by time or space, but rather by a vibrational level. And should you choose to interact with us, we would welcome that opportunity most certainly. And until the next time that you offer us this opportunity, we would bid each of you farewell with love and with peace.